Look at two verses here in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, the Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." For 25 years, here at Lancaster Baptist Church, October has been known as Harvest Month. It's been set aside specifically for the purpose of reaching people. And we start with open house. And it's an opportunity for us to, once again, go through our community and saturate every home with an invitation to come and visit our church. And with the greater purpose in mind of having them hear the Word of God, the gospel, the truth preached so they can be saved. It is a month in which we focus on the main thing. And all through this month, whether it be open house, whether it be a special Sunday, whether it be missions conference, we are focusing our attention on the things that God said were to be a priority. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gives us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I remind you that that command is given to each local church. It is our responsibility to go into this world with the gospel. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says we really aren't wise until we are about the business of winning souls to Jesus Christ. And so God has given us the privilege of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I wonder this month, are you going to engage in the harvest? Or will you just enjoy it? Oh, it's going to be a great month. You're going to see some things happen this month that have happened before here in the past, and we're quite confident that God is going to bless the things that we endeavor to do. And you can engage in it and be a part of it, or you can just sit back and say, wow, a lot of people got saved. Wow, a lot of people got baptized. Boy, a lot of people came to church or rode the bus. Are you going to engage in it or just enjoy it? I hope you won't just endure it. Because if we're not careful, some of us will sit back and say, well, here we go again, same old, same old. You know, soul winning. And give out these tracts, give out these flyers. I got to go do it. They're going to ask me if I do or I don't. I hope you don't endure harvest time. I hope you don't just enjoy it. I hope you're willing to engage in it. Jesus is entering at this point in time into a very intense time of ministry. We find him here in the early part of Mark's gospel as he's about to set out on 3 years of very intense ministry. And so the Lord singles out a handful of men to serve with him. And I want you to notice this threefold process as he singles out these men. We see, first of all, the selection of his followers in verse 13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. Now, this is not speaking of Calvinism here. This is not speaking of salvation. And we do not believe here at West Coast Baptist College that God decides to save some people and decides to send other people to hell. That's not what we teach here. We don't teach that God elects some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That's not what this is talking about here. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When it comes to salvation, God wants every person to have that opportunity to trust him as Savior. He doesn't select certain few or a certain number to come to Christ. But here, he's calling some people to follow him. Here, he's calling some men to engage in ministry with him. Here, he's taking some of them who have been saved, who now he wants to join with him in an effort of ministry. God does call certain men and women to serve in the ministry. The Apostle Paul said, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul recognized there was a call upon his life as a Christian to serve the Lord in ministry. You ever thought about why you're here? 7 billion people on the planet now. I don't know how many of them are saved. Let's say 1 million. I'm sure I would think there's probably more than that that are saved, but let's say 1 million. In this room right now, there are about 1,000 of us. Why would God put us here? Why did God single us out to be in a Bible college? Why did God specifically place us here for the purpose of training? Out of all the people that he could have allowed to be here, of all the people that could sit in the classroom, that could sit in the chapel, that could sit on this campus and learn about ministry, why you? Why me for such a time as this? These men that God chose were nothing special humanly. In fact, later in the book of Acts, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they perceived that they had not been trained in the finest of schools. They had not gone to the accredited colleges of the day. They were unlearned. They were ignorant when it came to higher education. But they saw the boldness. They saw that the Spirit of God was on them. You know, you're not here because you're smart. You're not here because you're talented. You're here because God, in his grace, said, I want you there. You're here on purpose. It's not because we're anything special. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh are called, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things and things that are despised hath God chosen, even things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. The selecting of the followers. God didn't choose us for any other reason but that we should bring glory to God. But notice, secondly, the stretching of their faith. In verse 14, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Now, that sounds exciting. With Jesus Christ. Wow. They get to go with Christ. They get to hear him preach. They get to watch him teach. They get to see the miracles he's about to do. They're going to see him walk on water. They're going to see him raise the dead. Whoa, this is exciting. It sounds great, but they had to leave all. They left their families. They left their home. They were now on the road. Oftentimes, no place to stay, no pillow to put their head upon at night. A rigorous schedule, little sleep, little comfort, laughed at, made fun of. Sound familiar? It's pretty awesome to be at West Coast Baptist College. It's pretty awesome to be in a place like this. It's pretty cool to be here learning the ministry, but guess what? With the selection of the follower, there's a stretching of the faith. Ultimately, these were going to watch Jesus be crucified. They were going to enter into ministry into a very hostile culture. All but one of them would be martyred for his faith. God wouldn't tell you to put on the whole armor of God if he didn't know that you were entering a battle. God wouldn't tell you to not be weary in well-doing if he didn't know you weren't going to get tired. God wouldn't tell you to cast all your care upon him if he didn't know that you were going to have some burdens and some trials. God wouldn't tell you to be sober, to be vigilant, if he knew you didn't have an enemy. Now listen to me. You're going to be stretched. You're here. Thank God for it. God has singled you out of all the people in this world to sit in that pew right now in this place and be trained to serve God. Thank God for it. But remind yourself, I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get weary. I'm going to feel like quitting. There's a stretching of our faith. Some of you are starting to wear down. You're thinking, oh man, how many days till Thanksgiving? You know, how many days till the semester break? By the way, we feel it. Pastor Chapel feels it. You see, in this business of serving the Lord, there's going to be a stretching of our faith. You're going to get stretched academically. Some of you are overwhelmed right now with a class or two that you're behind in. Projects are starting to mount. Assignments are starting to become due. Midterms are next week. And you're getting stretched academically. You're getting stretched because of schedule, work, and ministry, and school, and sleep, and my girlfriend, my boyfriend, I got to eat. You're getting stretched with some of the pressures of paying a school bill, the pressures of getting everything done, the pressures maybe from back home. There's the pressures of ministry, soul winning, and weekend ministry, and you think, man, if I'd gone to some other college, all I'd have to do is worry about my studies. But here, I've got to be in a ministry, and I've got to go soul winning. I've got to fill out a focus report, and I've got to do all these things. And you're being stretched. The trial of your faith is that which worketh patience. God is going to stretch you. Faith is never learned in comfortable surroundings. See, you don't grow your faith in an easy time. You don't grow your faith when everything's easy street. Your faith grows when you're stretched. So we see the selection of the followers. We see the stretching of their faith. But then we see the sending into the fields. In verse 14, he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Jesus realized all along that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And Jesus had in mind from the very selection of these followers that he was going to train them in that 3 years of mentoring and modeling in front of them. And then he was going to send them into the fields. You see, laborers are chosen, they're prepared, and then they're sent. What a joy it is for us to have students come to West Coast Baptist College to prepare. We go out and work hard at trying to find students that want to come and give their life to the Lord. And we spend our summers and as many break times as we can going out into churches and preaching and trying to reach young people and trying to encourage them to give their life to God. We're going out there selecting some followers. And then you come and we delight in seeing you get prepared and we see you get equipped in the classroom and in the ministry. But I'll tell you where the real joy is to see that day when you can walk across this platform with a diploma in hand and you can go start a church someplace. Brother Rick Owens, yesterday, first anniversary of that church, Victory Baptist up in Fresno, 121, I think, in attendance. The Barnabas team was down at San Bernardino yesterday praying for 100 in their open house, had 101. Up here in Mojave yesterday, 120, Brother Atherton. You see, it's being done as young people come here to train, and then they're sent. By the way, God has a place for you. God has a Fresno in mind for you. He has a San Bernardino in mind for you. He has a Mojave in mind for you. And while you're going through the stretching time, don't lose sight of the fact that one day God is going to send you into that field. This week, we get to be a part of going out into the fields and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get tired. October is a tiring month. October is a month where, if you're not careful, you'll quit. October is a month where you'll just kind of get burned out if you don't look at it right. But keep in mind, God selected me. He put me here. He's stretching me. One day he's going to send me. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a hunter. I know every man ought to be a hunter, you know. I'm not. If you want to read about my hunting expeditions, you can pick up my book, Homiletics from the Heart, and just read the first couple pages, and you'll read about my one kill in my entire life. It's rather entertaining if you ever need some encouragement. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a fisherman. I've never caught a fish in my life. I know you doubt that, but I have never caught a fish in my life. I have gone fishing, but I have never caught a fish in my life. I would rather watch paint dry than go fishing. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a hunter. I'm not into guns. I'm not into bows and arrows. And I'm not against it. I'm sure I would enjoy it if I let myself participate, but it's just not something that's ever been a part of my life. And I don't know a lot about a bow and an arrow. But I know if you're a hunter and it's deer season and you're going to go bow hunting, it's very important that you have the right bow. I mean, it wouldn't be like the one in your toy box when you're five, you know, the little string and the little suction cup arrow, you know. That probably wouldn't kill too many deer. Now, you're going to go down to some gun store, or if you don't have a lot of money, the pawn shop or someplace, and you're going to select a bow and an arrow. You're going to make sure it's exactly what you need for whatever you're trying to kill. And again, I don't know much about a bow and an arrow, but I know that when you get ready to shoot the animal, you put the bow into the string and you draw it back. There's a stretching. I think bows sort of have a test weight, don't they? Something like that. The string even has a certain test to it. Is this making sense? You see, God's preparing you for what one day he's going to send you forth to do. And while the stretching process, the pulling back of that string, provides tremendous tension upon that instrument, the more that that bow is tested, the stronger that string, the stronger that bow, the farther that arrow can go, the more accurate that arrow can become. You'll struggle through the tension. You'll struggle as God pulls the bow back, as God begins to stretch your life academically and spiritually and socially and economically. He's going to stretch you while you're here in college. But remember, he selected you for a job, for a ministry. And this week, we're going to be stretched a little bit. Extra times out soul winning. Getting out of the normal routines and trying to get some guys together and go out and knock some doors. And then we're going to enter into midterms and then missions conference and right into college days. And I mean, it's just going to be a blur. We're just going to turn around in seemingly a couple days and it's going to be Thanksgiving. And we're going to go, whoa, I'm tired. I'm spent. And if we're not careful, that's when the devil will attack. The stretching is on purpose. The stretching is for a reason. If we don't allow the stretching, the arrow will never fly. The arrow will never be sent to the mark that God intended it to hit. God has a plan for every one of you in this room. He has a place for you to serve, a people to reach. But if you don't allow yourself to be stretched, it'll never happen. May God give us a prayer in our heart this morning to say, Lord, okay, I'm willing to be stretched. I'm willing to let you pull the string back. I'm willing as an arrow just to get in the string and let you send me where you want me to go. Let's pray that for this week as we knock doors. Let's pray that this week as we come in contact with people. Lord, use me to hit the mark. Let's pray that God will use our life to that end.